Are we recording?
Now we're recording. We missed the electric. Yes, come on out. We're doing a next on Marathon Chat. Welcome to Marathon Chat. We were thinking of calling this, what are we going to call it? An Inconsistent Wind? Isn't that what we wanted to call this?
Welcome back to Inconsistent Wind.
We've got some
The continuing saga of the Ohio 24-hour marathon.
Smooth jazz.
When the inconsistent wind blows to the marathon land. The magic in the air, it takes us all in.
Yeah, I'm
thinking
the
marathon.
The brain is empty.
It is. Well,
was pretty awesome.
For those of you in podcast land, we've been sitting here warming up for like 2 hours.
Literally so. Warming up. We've got a fire.
If you ever wonder why we're so punchy by the time we get to these things.
We're doing an outdoor podcast right now.
We're on the patio of the great big studio in the sky.
The magical studio in the sky
overlooking the world.
We've got a fire here. Let's see if you can hear it crack.
That's beautiful. Fire.
There's
crackling.
Dogs out here. At some point you're going to hear one of them barking or howling at some point. But that makes it real. Just like the marathon.
that cough was not indicative of anything.
Uh-huh.
That's what we look for here at the marathons. Real reality. Verisimilitude.
Yes, marathons are all about reality by watching 12 or 13 movies that are fake.
You've obviously never had anybody put a knife to your nipple multiple times.
You say that like...
Just saying.
That's true. That happened to me this weekend.
That could have been your costume contest winner. If we had shown Strange Color before costume contest,
you could have just gotten up,
taking your shirt off,
Ooh.
Taking the knife,
flick.
And flick, flick, flick.
Bang, bang, bang. Whatever the...
And the audience would have been in a heightened state of arousal at that point.
And people would have been like, what the hell is this?
This is strange yet erotic at the same time.
This has no business being in a horror marathon.
No. No. That is what we aim for.
Yes.
Things that have no business, things that are not horror.
We're just sort of recapping.
We should probably talk about
recapping the horror marathon, the 666.
It's taken us so long. I think I was driven blind by the marathon. It was so overwhelming.
We should have stopped masturbating at least the third movie.
It was hard. Especially once you got to the Satanist.
You should have taken all that Cialis before the Satanist.
You get to the Satanist and it's like, I gotta keep going. I don't know. I'm getting it. I know this is erotic. And by that point, you're blind. You know.
Well, at certain point, we had this discussion off mic, but let me just bring this up.
Yeah.
You said it was cocoa butter. It looked like lard to me. That the pre Bruno Sacha Baron Cohen's Bruno was smearing all over the. Was that cocoa butter?
Oh, man, I don't know what it was. I was kind of tired.
What
at
did
that
they
point.
Use in the 60s? Was lard a erotic lubricant back then?
I don't know if lard has ever been an erotic lubricant.
Oh no, it is has now because I'm an erotic lubricant.
I see what you did there. That was the comedy hits keep on coming, folks.
I'm fat.
He's fat. That's a very good question. Now here's a little, not a spoiler. I'm very hyper aware now because on the John Oliver show last night, they did a clip. Do you ever watch that? Do you ever watch?
I only end up watching John Oliver when people are like, look at this clip. And I'm like, that sounds interesting. Play.
Yeah.
Let's hear what he has to say about beauty contests.
He did a bit on people in the media using spoiler alert in the incorrect way.
Like, okay.
The weather is
spoiler alert. Like, I loved it.
Yeah. Like weather alert. Or like. And next in weather, some cold weather coming in, and spoiler alert, it's going to be bad. And they would stamp the screen saying, not a spoiler alert, the news is not a spoiler. So now that I'm trying to say spoiler alert, I'm really hypersensitive.
Well, that's what people
Thanks,
do.
John Oliver.
People would write reviews, yeah. Oh, Interstellar, spoiler alert.
Thanks, John Oliver, wherever you are out there.
He's not even from this country, bastard.
He's not. I'm officially calling for the deportation of John Oliver today. After I finish my feud with Stephen King on Twitter... I will make sure. Well, that was crazy. If all of you could only see what we just saw.
No why.
Kevin's son, his youngest son, just produced a toy out of his mouth.
It's like a kapunk ball. You remember the kapunks?
Kapunk ball?
What
they call them?
They're ping pong balls.
I think, yeah.
And he had one. So he's six. He's not like 17.
He's magic.
He's not like 17 just putting shit in his mouth.
Boom.
You know, writing his name in human
feces
on the wall.
He has the greatest, most profitable superpower of all time. I can make ping pong balls appear out of my mouth.
It looked like
It's a cake.
It's a cake, yeah. Yeah, but you don't eat it. you know, if you were in a, if I bet in the Satanist, they produce ping pong balls elsewhere.
Quite possibly.
But
that was good. That was very good. Yes.
And then they walked.
You are correct, Kevin Carr. yeah,
it looked like a scene from Airplane.
Here's not even spoiler, but maybe it is.
Is this a spoiler for what? Is it a spoiler for the Satanist? Everyone heard it.
If you want to know,
either watched or walked out.
Well, if you want to know what they were using, you'll get your chance because, as far as I know, there is a DVD release planned for the Satanist at some point in the future.
So the fact that I fell asleep during the orgy, I can go get it on DVD now.
I don't know when it's going to come out, but I know that there are plans afoot to try to bring that out. Okay. So yeah, the thing I'm most happy with about the Satanist
it's done. It's over.
That's tough to say. Mm-hmm. I've told people that it has now replaced Werewolves on Wheels as the easiest movie to ever summarize that I've seen, especially at a marathon.
Well, you know what Werewolves on Wheels is about?
Because you can just break...
It's not about Werewolves on Wheels. No, I'll give you a spoiler alert.
It's about Werewolf on Wheel.
It's
on
about...
Wheel? Not even on Wheels.
These bikers just doing shit for like an hour, and then a werewolf.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, but at least with that, you couldn't break down Werewolves on Wheels by each reel. You had to say, and then there's 10 minutes of this, 15 minutes of that, and the Satanist, 3 reels, and you can say, first reel, hairiest man in the world, getting it on with his wife in the slowest, most non-erotic manner possible.
No, everyone has panties. Everyone has forever panties on this movie.
Second reel, cocoa butter, girl turns into man. Third reel.
Turns into Bruno.
Third reel is the, we had to attend their dinner. It was being held on the Sabbath.
That was amazing. This is crazy. We must leave. Well, we don't want to be rude.
Husband gets tied up. Wife gets violated by, as Bruce put it, the head of secretariat from Craig Ferguson. And then it was all a dream.
There was
my nervous breakdown, but we're going to celebrate my recovery on the Sabbath.
I was just disappointed that there was no bagpiping going on when the great god Pan showed up.
Oh, yeah. If we had only pre-planned that. He was gone by then.
Ah, bastard wins the fucking costume contest and leaves.
Well, he's
beats
smart.
Me with the top that. He topped that.
You're losing it. That's all I can say. You're over the hill. It's time to turn. It's time to finally do what you should have done a long time ago, because it's really obvious to all of us in the audience that you are desperate dad getting up there trying to leech the heat off of your son. As they would say in wrestling, leeching heat off of the main act.
Leech heat?
Because Kevin, it's very obvious.
Sounds like a great name for a heavy metal band. Leeching heat.
Leeching heat. Inconsistent
Hello,
Cleveland.
We're leeching heat.
It's pretty obvious that Liam and Ben, they're the horse that people want to. No,
Did you call my kids horse?
To say, they're the horse people want to ride on, but that's...
That's even worse.
Wait a minute.
Dude. Yeah, see, even the six-year-old's like, what was that? What's that kind of going on?
They're the talent. They've got the crowd appeal, and you're just dad trying... Oh my God, you're showbiz dad. This is what happened. You're the Michael Lohan of the marathon. Yeah. You're like, let me get in there on your heat, kids.
I feel that we were shortchanged a bit on that costume contest because nobody knew what we were doing except for that lady in the front row. Lady, woman, I don't know. I don't want to be offensive. It's offensive to if a woman is
Was she a
too,
lady?
Well, no, but if she was...
Lady.
You say lady, that's just...
You're the lady in the front row, and you know me.
Smooth jazz here on Inconsistent
Little Kenny Rogers.
And
we're gonna perform from Take That.
But she got it. She got it immediately. And
yes,
God bless
her.
But
she did.
No one else did. You did.
I did because I had been prepped, unfortunately, 2 weeks before by...
If you were to go and watch Top That, and we had the exact same outfits on. That was the level of detail. I mean, the exact same outfits.
Yeah, but guess what? You weren't Red Luck.
We were not
and
Red Luck.
And tinfoil. So
the Red Luck barely made it to the end of the line a couple times.
He did, but you know what? The power of Red Luck, the power of tinfoil.
I think you should have
just let... By the way, you realize, or maybe you didn't realize.
No, maybe.
For those of you, by the way, who are listening to this, who have no idea what we're talking about, because I don't know.
Shame on you for not coming to the
You
marathon.
Stayed home. Yeah, shame on you. Stayed home to, I don't know, get drunk or go to a pre-Halloween party.
Could have gone to the marathon and get drunk because it didn't stop some people.
Very much, yes. And I'm not talking about me or my partner in crime here. No. For those of you who didn't attend, we had the Ohio premiere of Mike Olenek's horror/surrealist short, Red Luck. and it involves the titular character, who is this guy dressed up in a green body leotard, including over his head, a pair of like fly eye multi reflective, like what would you call those? The fly eye, they're not like Bono fly eye glasses.
They look like the glasses vision. That like James Marsden would wear in X-Men movies.
Yeah, or like when in the original Fly, when you see the POV shot from the fly's perspective,
yeah,
and it's all like what a fly would see, everything's
fly eye,
yeah, dressed up in that. And the director entered the costume contest as Tinfoil, which plays a major role in Redluck. And his friend Todd, who I also know, had to dress up as Redluck. And Todd, dressed as Redluck, couldn't see anything.
He was basically blind,
and he was letting Mike lead him around. And I saw Todd about a week after the marathon, and he said, I will never do that again.
Well, the most hilarious thing is that Mike would just forget to lead him around.
Yes.
But Mike would get so excited that he'd go... And a couple times, because they happened to be like right after us or right before us in the marathon. I mean, in the costume contest lineup. And I'd be like, no, over here. And I'd usher him back to the end of the line. I kind of wish everyone would just let him go. And be like, second round. And there he is in the back of the theater, just like,
Red Luck, where are you?
Grabbing the walls, trying to figure out where.
It could have been like a sub David Letterman bit where you just have Red Luck wandering in the background eventually. We should have just let him wander through the rest of the marathon.
That's true.
Hey, it's Red Luck.
All of a sudden,
he
shows up in the booth.
You crazy kid.
Puts the fly eye in front of him.
If we had only thought of that.
See? You should plan these things better.
We should. Yeah, it's not like I orchestrated the winner of the costume contest enough.
Yeah.
Because you know the story behind that. I told you that.
Which one?
The guy who won the costume contest back in 2012.
Yeah, when he was the bagpipe gorilla.
My friend Dave, who won both costume contests. Back in 2012, a month before the marathon, said, hey, Dave, you love horror movies. I mean, that's how Dave and I became friends, was because he's a huge horror fanatic, and he, like, Day of the Dead is one of his favorite movies, and I'm a huge Romero fan. So, and Dave and I went to the Monroeville Mall with a couple friends back in 98 just to visit the place. So, randomly eight people. He loves horror. Mm-hmm. And so in 2012, about a month before the marathon, I said, Dave, you haven't been to a marathon in years, and I know you have a gorilla costume, because he wore it once to another all-night marathon that Drexel ran. And I said, and you play the bagpipes, if you showed up in the gorilla costume playing bagpipes, people would love you. Didn't say a thing about it afterwards for a month. And finally, when the marathon happens, I'm looking in the line for the costume contest, and I see him, and I think, oh, he did it. He took the bait. So this year, again, about a month before, I said, when are you going to come back and defend your crown? You didn't even attend last year. What's going on? So right at the beginning, I see him, and he's there with his girlfriend, and I didn't think much of it. So when we got to the costume contest line, I see this guy dressed as Pan, and I thought it was another friend of mine.
Yeah.
Who it used to be in costume contests years ago. He and his brother used to win them all the time. And then I see the tattoo on his back, and I thought, oh, it's Dave. Oh, shit.
Nice.
And Dave's like very – he's going to hate me for saying this, but he's like the gentle lion. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a tall guy, and he looks kind of intimidating in some ways, but he's a very gentle soul. But he knows how to play to the crowd.
Yeah.
He is like a total ham when it comes to that, and he's double-jointed, so he can do all these bizarro things with his back. Famously, if you didn't go to the marathon, I had the line kind of bearing myself when he's leaving, and I said, well, his lady friend is here tonight. She's probably ecstatic. I said, I thought it was someone else, but then I saw that back tattoo, and I thought, wait, I've seen that tattoo before. I know who this is. And immediately thought, wait, that sounds weird. Not how you guys think. But
You say a lot of things that sound weird, and then backpedal immediately.
I like to think that's my job.
Is there going to be a
subconsciously,
an expose at some point?
An expose of me? Saying stupid, embarrassing things.
No, things coming to light.
I hope not.
I know that back tattoo. I see it all the time.
I know it well.
It glistens.
Very well.
Wet.
I know the love that dares not speak its name, and it's in that back tattoo. What?
Just waiting for you to go. Next on Inconsistent Wind.
I think subconsciously, the P.T. Barnum in me says, gotta say something to make yourself look dumb and keep the audience feeling like they're better than you, because they're not, baby. They're not. And then I say that. So wait, did I just say that too?
I just had a picture of P.T. Barnum in you, and that's not
Barnum.
Something I really needed.
He's trying to get
relive.
Out. It's like from beyond. He's my head's going to crack open, and P.T. Barnum will come
here
out.
Anymore right now, Kevin.
By the way, I watched
P.T. Barnum.
I watched From Beyond a couple nights ago. I hadn't seen it since we showed it.
Yeah,
I love From Beyond. That to me is probably my favorite Stuart Gordon
movie.
Is this
a segue to anything?
You can buy it now on Scream Factory Blu-ray and DVD. That's right, for a mere $19.99 via ScreamFactory.com.
Did you just get like, are you pimping out Scream Factory for me?
I have an exclusive endorsement deal.
What happened there?
I've been like, signed.
You know what's great? Snapple.
Hey, everybody.
Snapple is delicious. You know what I love? You should drink some Snapple.
Friends, you know what I love?
Water.
Water. There's nothing better than Scream Factory DVDs and Blu-rays available now at fine retailers near you.
Also joined with Scream Factory Water.
So anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know where that all started, but you never know where any of this starts. So.
We're just going to talk a little bit, you know, sort of like how it went.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
Thought. Any.
Hey, so for those of you who didn't attend, it was like fucking amazing, okay? It was, sorry, Nick, I just cursed in front of Kevin's 6-year-old.
Yeah, all the other things we've been saying. Not a problem.
Who wore a 6-year-old who? Well, Nick didn't wear the mustache. That's right.
That was Ben. Ben wore the mustache. That's the Tom Atkins mustache.
Yeah. It was really really fun.
I thought it went well. I was impressed with. It ran smoothly. We talked off the air that the only reason I think it really ran that late was because the costume contest was so good.
In a lot of ways, that probably set us back 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah. But oh well. That happens.
It was a great costume contest. It was probably one of the best ones I've seen in years.
Yes, easily. Now, the Scream contest?
Not so much. The Scream contest was a
okay,
little weak.
Here, I'm going to...
Hiding behind the partition in the back.
Yeah.
Charging my phone because there was a plug there.
I'm going to lay the gauntlet down right now.
Right here, okay? Laying the gauntlet down, brother.
Okay, jackass.
I'm going to lay the gauntlet down because somehow in the last 2 years, the Scream contest, which before seemed to consistently have a great turnout.
Yeah.
You know, we always had a couple goofy guys who would get in there, but we had some women who could really belt it out. Somehow in the last 2 years, a guy has won the Scream contest.
Yeah.
And I think he is probably even surprised that he won because he's not that good. This year, literally, we had 3 guys, all of whom are bad, but the guy who won was...
The least bad of,
and it was slightly a showman, yeah. Right. And 2 girls who were terrible.
Yeah.
And I thought for a while.
They got a lot of prizes, though, because I was standing there when they walked by and got prizes.
Oh, well, we had a ton of stuff to give away. We thought Scream Contest. We thought the opposite. We thought Scream Contest will get a lot because it's easy.
Yeah.
Costume Contest, who knows? And it went totally in the reverse way.
They used to have an Evil Laugh Contest. Were you ever there for
that? I have videotape footage of that. That's from a long time ago.
My favorite one was this guy who was, like, huge. Like, he was... 6'5" and probably 400 pounds. He gets up. He goes,
"Wait, let me finish your line for you. I'm Elvis."
No, that's not what he said. He gets up. He goes, "Ha ha ha, fucking ha," and the audience erupted.
I haven't seen that one.
That was a great.
That's awesome. Maybe we'll bring that back at some point. But now we've had some great screamers. So
yeah.
Ladies, especially, please, ladies out there in the crowd, we love you. We know you're out there. Please come back and please participate because if a guy wins the Scream contest again next year, and if this guy does, no offense, this guy, whoever you are, those of you who don't know who this was, he was the guy who was Batman in the costume contest who had no back to his costume do you remember this?
Vaguely.
He bent over at one point. He had boxer briefs on, but he bent over to show everybody his bat. Yeah.
I wouldn't have worn boxer briefs.
Oh, I know.
It would have been a lacy red thong.
You know, on a nice fall day, that's an image that will keep me warm through the rest of the night.
Good.
So, ladies, please come back. Come back and scream for us. And because I was a bit ashamed at the Scream contest this year. And guys, by all means, participate. That's cool. We've had some good guys. But that was kind of a weird mini disaster. And maybe it was because it ran so late. We ended up having the Scream contest at about 1 a.m.
It was really late. Well, and like I said, I was charging my phone. It was right before you did the bread stuff, right? With Kevin O'Brien, right?
Yes. Right before Strange Color of Your Body's Tears. Well, we thought that we almost thought for a second to move the Scream contest to right before The Manitou and after The Shining. But then, and Bruce brought this up, and I agreed with him, that if we did it after Manitou, the audience would be on a high. And
The Manitou was awesome.
They were on a high, but I think that high made them go outside and smoke or take a break rather than screaming.
Let me ask you a question. This is not me a complaint. This is not a complaint, but just a question.
Are you saying I don't like complaints, Kevin?
Maybe.
Are you saying I have thin skin?
No. Do you?
I have my finger on the pulse of Marathon Nation,
finger,
Kevin. Okay.
Get your finger away from
it's
me.
It's going thump thump thump.
The question I have, and this might be just a print thing or whatever. The Manitou, there were some sound issues at the beginning, and it wasn't that the. It was really soft for dialogue, but it was really loud for traffic, for example.
Yeah. That, I'm not...
Do you know what caused that?
I'm not still 100% sure what that was. Okay. Occasionally, when you're dealing with film prints, especially from all over the place and all over the years, you'll get prints sometimes that have slightly weak tracks like that. I remember being in Boston a few years ago when they showed Labyrinth, and it was a nice print. Yeah. In good shape, but the sound was like that. There was a weird
because it's all one mixed optical track, isn't it?
Yeah. It's that, but you're getting the Manitou. It was
not like some 8-channel thing.
No, but the Manitou was in Dolby Stereo, so you're getting a stereo effect. We thought about running it in mono for a few minutes, but we just kept cranking it up. So sometimes,
because that's what was so weird, is because it was really really soft. And then, like, they cut to, like, traffic and a bus goes by, and I'm like, that's really loud.
And it might have been a case where maybe we should have run it in mono.
Okay. I'm just curious
that was a... Well, Suspiria. That's a good example. When we ran that, we...
Yeah, but Suspiria is crazy loud and weird anyways.
Well, we accidentally ran that in mono instead of stereo. And that... Or no, I take that back. We accidentally ran that in stereo instead of mono. And the print we had, which all the... Okay, here we go. For those of you who know nothing about Suspiria.
Inside baseball.
Soon to be available from Scream Factory. Oh, Jesus. Actually, Christ. No. It's coming out on Synapse, I think. Anyway. Mm. Suspiria, in its initial U.S. release.
Suspiria.
Yeah. Phil Collins, baby. Good times. By the way, this is a total side tangent to a side tangent. But when you saw Interstellar, and this is not giving anything away, did you think at the climax, when a certain transcendental moment is happening, did you not expect McConaughey to go, oh, this is trippy, man. Rock and roll. Here we go.
I did expect a couple, all right.
I did too, but more on that maybe.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Slight spoiler alert for Interstellar.
Okay.
When they're on Miller's.
Wait. Give them a second to walk away.
Walk away.
Okay, we're good.
On Miller's World, circling.
Miller's World.
We're circling a black hole.
Yes.
Where'd all the fucking sunlight come from?
All right.
See? There you go.
We were.
Nolan,
okay.
you're an idiot.
Another spoiler alert, because we brought this up again, and a couple buddies of mine after the screening, one of them said, so wait. So at the end, is he going back through the wormhole to find Anne Hathaway? And won't he be like really old by the time he gets to her, but she'll be really young still? And I turned to my friend.
No, not through the No. That's not how that worked. Yeah, it was old because they were by the black hole.
That's right.
But here's the other question.
I just turned to my friend and I said, all right.
Again.
That says
But here's another thing.
That movie is proof positive Matthew McConaughey can't lose. Everything will always turn out well for him. And in the end, it's like, got to say goodbye to my dying daughter. I get to go bang Anne Hathaway. Righteous.
But the other thing is in the world, you know, as they're we're still talking Interstellar if you're not, but this is the thing. You know, they go to this black hole and they're like, oh, time dilation, all this kind of stuff. It's 7 years for every hour, blah, blah, blah. And at no point did all these smart people on board go, wait a minute. She just landed like 10 years ago.
Yes.
So maybe she's only been there. Maybe she just landed.
I think...
There's a lot of smart people who didn't think in that movie.
Well, yeah. I think we should do another episode about Interstellar.
We should just talk about Interstellar.
Because we're going to get off on that track. And speaking of tracks, in its initial release domestically, Suspiria had a 6-track stereo soundtrack.
We're done with the spoilers on Interstellar.
Come back in the room, everybody. Had a 6-track stereo soundtrack, which supposedly was awesome.
Wow.
And then...
But if you didn't have the system to play that...
Well, but people did. But then they...
Well, not at the Drexel.
No. Oh, well, follow me here. Originally, in its original release, like when it was... The day it was released, it was released in 6-track stereo.
Yeah.
20th Century Fox bought the rights to the film back in 77, and they were kind of ashamed to admit that they were releasing this horror film. So, even after it got the R rating and it was cut, they established a shell company called International Classics.
Yeah.
And that's the logo you see, the distributor logo you see on the film, like on the print we had last year.
Mm.
After a very brief six-track run, they re-released the film with a mono soundtrack. Not even a stereo, but a mono. And that film has one of the most dynamic soundtracks you can get. If you've ever heard the old Laserdisc that had the six-track stereo. And, God, I hope when they finally redo the domestic disc, because the one that's been out from Anchor Bay had a weird remix 5.1, and some of the music was quiet for some reason. It's
what?
Oh, trust
quiet
me.
Music in
trust
Suspiria?
I don't know. But anyway, so...
I'm wondering if a mutual friend of ours got his hands on the mix first.
I don't know. A mutual friend? John Carpenter?
No.
Dario Argento?
No. Marathon. Somebody who goes to the marathon is not a big fan of Suspiria.
Kevin Carr?
No.
Kevin's gonna try to.
You're just gonna guess everybody. Covertly, that
he's mouthing a name to me right now. So the print we had was a mono print.
Yeah.
We accidentally played it in stereo, and I think that's what led to some of the weird discrepancies.
Do you think that may have happened with the Manitou?
I don't.
Or was it the Manitou of the projector that caused that problem?
It was. We were doing battle with the Manitou of the projector while the Manitou played. So I don't know. In the long run, someone out there is saying, so what's the fucking point? Jesus Christ.
We're just rambling.
The point is,
come to the next marathon. When is that?
March 14th and 15th, 2015. It's SF32, the 32nd annual Ohio 24-hour science fiction marathon, sponsored by Scream Factory. Purveyor of... Now, you can tell I'm totally fishing for a free sponsorship right now.
Well,
hey, friends, you know, it would be nice on a nice... fall, crisp fall evening like this, a glass of Mike's Hard Cider and a Scream Factory Blu-ray. Because nothing goes together better than Mike's Hard Lemonade, Cider, and Scream Factory Blu-rays. Back to you, Kevin.
Okay, I have no response to that. All right, so we will talk. Do any more to wrap up? Let's just talk real quickly about sci-fi. Well, let's talk sci-fi first, since we talked about it.
Yeah.
That's coming. We don't have any. There's no titles or anything.
By the way, none of you can see it, but in...
There's a dog here.
There's a house right by the great studio in the sky, the magic studio in the
magical
sky.
Studio in
and
the
there's
sky.
A dog staring at us. It's just like the Doberman from The Omen is staring at
way
us.
Way cuter. She's chasing her tail.
Balefully, yeah.
Waiting. She's chasing her tail and wanting us to come over and pet her. She's literally chasing her tail.
Sick
right
balls,
now.
Chopper! So, sci-fi, March 14th and 15th.
Which is not that far away.
No.
That's what, you know.
5 months, right?
December, January, November, 4 months.
Hokey smokes.
December, January, February, March. Four.
I was going to say 5 months from today, but it's not.
4 months from like the end of this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah. It's hopefully news coming soon. We had a meeting this week to get the ball rolling.
Mm.
And hopefully bigger and better and lots of great stuff. And
Chopper's got a stick now.
I'm getting freaked out here, man. So, yeah, is there anything else I can tell you right now?
Yeah.
Hopefully by the next podcast we'll have some more info.
Do you think the pricing is going to be probably about the same, $40?
I would guess.
Okay.
Yeah. We kind of explained this a bit back before, but renting films is not getting any cheaper by far. DCP, which we were able to tap into a little more than we were, say, 2 years ago, is great. That's the digital standard you see in theaters.
Yeah.
But it's not like just because one of the big motivations for studios to change from film to digital in distribution was, oh, it'll cost less.
Yeah.
And it does. That doesn't mean they're not charging you less.
Mm.
Or they're not charging you more in this case.
So well, they're charging the same for the rights.
Yeah, well, and sometimes more.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well... They gotta eat, baby. They gotta eat.
You can't just go to Scream Factory.
Scream Factory, where all prices are low and all the children are above average.
And... All the prices are low and all the viewers are high. That's right.
Hey. Next month's podcast will be sponsored by Scream Factory.
And Mike's Medical Marijuana. In Oxnard, California.
You're listening to Marathon Chat, sponsored. Friends, do you enjoy medical marijuana? Do you want to set up your own dispensary? Well, I highly suggest going to LegalZoom.com.
I highly suggest you not do it in Ohio. You don't want to open the medical marijuana store and then have the cops go, what do you sell here? Fruit.
And after you watch your Scream Factory Blu-ray, go to DraftKings.com and set up your draft for this year's Fantasy Football League. It's awesome. DraftKings.com.
What are you hawking now?
I'm spouting off all of these sponsors I hear on podcasts.
Oh.
Just for the hell of it.
Okay. I'm waiting for you to be like, BigDoggy.net. Find out all of your escort needs.
BigDoggy.net. I've never heard of that. That sounds very interesting.
It's a friend of mine.
Ooh.
Speaking of which, there's one, a friend of mine comes to me once and says, do you know I found this site called discountescorts.com? And it's not for cars. But I'm just like, wait a minute. How desperate do you have to be that you wanted to discount?
A subsidiary of Discount Drug Mart.
From Sam's Club.
Friends. Discount Drug Mart shoppers. Now Discount Drug Mart's going to sue us for claiming that they have an escort service.
That's going to be like, make sure you wear a condom.
After coming to Discount Drug Mart and buying your discount drugs and watermelons and peanuts, do you ever get the hankering for an escort? Well,
they have a special section for people who already have VD.
Do you ever have a hankering for an escort, but you don't want to pay full price? Sometimes you don't need the full escort
We're having
experience.
A sale.
Well, deep discount.
Half off.
Now they need deep discount escorts.
That'll be describing your penis.
I think I found my new career.
What? Are you going to join for Joe Neff?
I'm going to.
You want a smaller escort? Here you go. That's right.
Do you find normal size escorts intimidating?
Straight to the short.
Well, if you're looking for the finest escorts under 5'7", you've come to the right place. Yes, friends. So anyway, yeah, renting DCPs is not necessarily cheaper.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a little more expensive, and that's fine. Well, and it does even out in some ways because when you're renting a film print, you have to ship it.
Yeah.
And to ship a film print can cost a decent amount.
Yeah.
If you're shipping a DCP, it usually doesn't cost that much.
You can cram it into one of those, you know, like a post office priority night things, probably. Pay like $10.
It costs less, so I think
guaranteed 2 days.
I think sometimes there's a compensation with the price. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, renting that. Well, and sometimes, especially now, if we want to play film and film prints, which we still want to stick with that. It's one of the reasons we brought this whole thing back. You know, if we're playing the Manitou, we're playing the print, and that's a collector print because really there are no regular prints available.
Yeah.
So to do that, we play the collector print, and then we clear it through who has the rights. So you're paying, you're paying the rights, and you're paying for a little rental from the person who has it and shipping that. So you know that it's all in the name of giving you guys a really good event.
Yeah,
but we got to pay for it too.
Yeah,
and the theater has to make some money, or we don't do the marathon anymore. So yeah, that's why last year for horror we went up to 37 and 40, and we just decided, look, we probably need to bump. And if you look back, we actually put a chart together, available now at discountescorts.com, in the marathon. Click on the marathon button and enter your secret code, Joe, and you get a 20% discount. Go to discountescorts.com/Joe, and you get a 20% discount off your next order. Anyway, none of you can see us, by the way, but we're squinting and coughing at the fire now.
I'm waiting for you to start singing Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. That's what I want to hear next on Inconsistent West.
Asked me how I knew.
I actually want to see if Discount Escorts works as a domain, but continue.
So anyway, we have a chart, and if you look at the ticket price adjusted for inflation since the beginning of the marathons in 1987, we haven't gone up that much. Our price, if you count inflation, has only gone up maybe $10 or so, $10-$15 at most. So we decided, look, we probably have to bump this a bit at some point. Why don't we do it now and try to stick with that? So yeah, I'm guessing tickets will be $40-$45. Now here's the thing, that could change depending on we are really trying to get a guest for sci-fi and for horror next year. We kind of set that as a big motivation or a big goal was let's get a guest for each marathon.
Yeah.
And so we have some people we're thinking of for sci-fi. Now, actually getting them might be another thing. But We're hoping we can stick with 40-45. If by some chance we get some amazing guest, once-in-a-lifetime type experience that costs more, we might have to bump that a bit.
Yeah.
But we will try our best to keep it at about 40-45. So, yeah, there you go.
I'm good.
And in between that, we got lots of plugs in for companies that have nothing to do with this podcast.
Scream Factory.
This is the true new American economy. Desperation. online desperation. Please.
Advertising you, before you get
one
the check.
One of you sponsor us, please.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, any other things we want to talk about in terms of, you know.
DraftKings.com. LegalZoom.com.
The marathon. So let's go through. Yeah. You're next. You're next did really well. That was
Boppo.
That was
I was
crazy.
Floored. I was so happy because that was one I pushed for.
I knew
a
that
long
was going
time
be,
ago.
I knew that was going to be a huge fan favorite. Yeah. And it was what I found so interesting was on the forums. Usually, that's where you see a lot of people talk about this. Is how many people didn't see it because they're like, "Oh, this just looks like The Strangers."
I was shocked. We right before the film. Literally right before it started, I said, hey, straw poll, how many of you have never seen this? And 3/4 of the audience raised their hands.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And I had thought people would have at least seen it on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's been on there for 4 or 5 months.
But, oh, yeah.
But I'm glad because, boy, that was the perfect audience to show that movie to.
And people went bonkers for it. The thing that really made me a little bit nervous is, you know, I had my sons with me. I had Liam, who's 13, and Ben, who's 11. And at the blender scene.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing my son's reaction to the blender scene made me a little worried.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got rid of our blender because well, he's yes!
What I especially loved was the vocal female contingent in the crowd who wants... Sharni Vinson is her name, right?
Yeah.
Once she starts kicking ass, the vocal female contingent in the crowd, which is like, yeah, it's like finally fucking men, stupid asses. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I had forgotten how much of a dick Joe Swanberg is in that movie.
Yeah.
Like I having seen it once before, I liked it, but I was cracking up at him through most of the film because he's such an unrepentant, horrible person.
He's so terrible.
And really he's not that bad in the end. But he's like the greatest comic relief you could get.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very, very happy, and I think the crowd...
He played the brother, right?
He was Biff or Brick or whatever. Yeah. I'm pulling old... you know, the guy from Death of a Salesman or Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
I think my favorite part is when Amy Siemens is like, no one thinks I could do anything!
Yes.
That was... There's so much truth in... The interactions of a dysfunctional family in that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, in the way they turn it on its head, where the repressed people in the family turn out to be the conspirators, you know? And that was fun. That's a fun movie. And the one concern I had with that was I didn't know how the crowd would react once the reveal happens.
Yeah.
But they still, they if anything, they got louder and more vociferous after that.
Yeah.
That was all that in a bag of chips, man, to pull out an old
and Nosferatu, I think was shown at the right time.
Yeah, we showed
that would have killed us if you showed it at 2 a.m.
Nosferatu preceded by Your Next, followed by Housebound. I feel justified that was a great time, and all credit to the audience. Mm-hmm. I was somewhat shocked. The audience got it, mm-hmm. and they got the dry humor, the bone dry humor. For lack of a better term,
the giant horse's ass.
Well, and there are so many little parts too, where there's little interactions in the people in the town, and the kid with the fiddle, the timing of him appearing.
Yeah,
Renfield, obviously.
Well, you know, the other thing that I found interesting was it was a month ago, almost, and it was right at the height of the Ebola scare.
Yes,
which had a really interesting. Because, of course, in the original Dracula and Bram Stoker's original Dracula, vampirism is an allegory for syphilis.
Yeah.
And in this one,
well, thanks for spoiling the whole thing.
Sorry.
Now.
Spoiler alert.
Now there's going to be kids listening to this out there who say, oh, that book sounds terrible now.
I'm not into syphilis.
I want blood sucking, not like STDs.
This one is an allegory to the plague. Well, pretty clearly. I mean, not terribly veiled. But, I mean, then you look at it like with Ebola, and it had this real interesting... It was sort of like when I saw Lincoln, I saw Lincoln like the day before or the day after the 2012 presidential election.
It was the day before or the day after? Yeah, so was, the day of, you mean?
It was right at the height of
the day before the day after the election.
The day before
AKA
tomorrow.
Election day.
but yeah, it was the same, you know, it was right at the height of the 2012 election, and it was so nasty, but then you're watching this movie and you're like, oh, this actually has a lot of to say about what's going on in politics today.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that the whole when the Doris Kearns Goodwin book got pulled back out into the pop consciousness and the conversation, it was all the Obama trying to deal with all these Republicans and that ideal that, if only things could be like when Lincoln was around. You know?
Yeah.
Even though there's a great piece in a magazine called The Baffler. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. They're like a quarterly that gets published out of MIT.
I don't pay attention to words.
Well, you should, because words are the future, Jack. Okay. The Baffler published this piece about that and about the book that Chris Matthews wrote, MSNBC's Chris Matthews wrote about.
Was the book titled, Listen to Me Now! Shut up!
It was his book about Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, because he always refers back to, boy, if things could just be like Tip and Ronald were.
An 80s sitcom?
Yeah.
Tip and Ronald. Boop,
and
boop, boop.
And the article very keenly refutes this whole mythology we build up about how American politics used to be about reaching across the aisle.
And
American politics
been.
Is always, even,
always
the, even the Lincoln situation, was still about guys stabbing each other in the back. And you look at the campaign.
Sometimes literally.
Literally. And you look at the campaign literature from around that time, and it's worse than it was today.
Oh, yeah.
But it's easy to look at that and bring it up as this wishful thinking, and Lincoln is as the one guy who could do it. And it's like, well, this shit's been going on forever.
Well, there's in this scene in Lincoln where he's like, is this legal? It's, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to try and sue
me. Lincoln got
to
eat.
Well, you know, and that's why I thought that because it's a blood disease, you know, Ebola, and it had this real interesting allegorical thing that was going on today that wasn't even on the radar back when this was made.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The
thing I thought that was interesting too, and I started this kind of popped into my head during Nosferatu, during one specific scene, and after the marathon I looked back and thought, oh, that's the secret theme of the marathon. It always seems like we have a secret theme that we never intend. Year number two is mad scientists. I don't know how we didn't get that half the films we booked had mad scientists of one sort or another until afterwards, but I thought, man, the secret theme of this marathon is like trance states. Because Nosferatu, the way it's cut together and with the music, is very hypnotic. And there's that scene where Kinski's getting out of the boat, and it's inky night behind him, and he's slowly moving across the screen. And it's very trance-like and hypnotic. And the town being stuck with the plague, it's like they're almost in this weird trance, which is appropriate because Herzog hypnotized his cast for, I think, Hearts of Glass or Heart of Glass.
Oh, okay.
Put them literally into a trance. And you've got You're Next with the song repeating over and over again. The Shining, obviously. Strange Color of Your Body's Tear. There's like
The Satanist.
The Satanist. Yeah,
there's some trancey things going on.
It's very like trance type mentality to it. So if you were really.
That and People in the Walls.
If you're really into trances or you were high during this marathon, you probably are like.
You're like, this made total sense.
This is awesome, man.
Then the next was Housebound.
Housebound.
Which is fantastic.
Probably the smash hit of the marathon. Now I'll say
something. I got the Blu ray to review.
You hear that? You hear that, Accelerator Media? Kevin Carr bought the Blu-ray.
Well, no,
did you
buy
it?
They sent it to me, so review.
You hear that, Accelerator Media? Kevin Carr bought the Blu-ray to...
No, I'm going to talk about it and recommend it, and people will then buy it.
Yeah, it was really great. Now, I'll say something controversial here.
Uh-oh.
I
don't think somebody can stop peeing like that, especially a woman right in the middle. It's hard enough to pinch it off as a guy, man, but she was she's just thinking. She must have amazing...
bladder control per second.
Just makes me want to know what her Kegel muscles are like. That's what I think about it.
She'd probably kick your ass for saying that.
That'd be awesome. That's usually an extra $50 on discountescorts.com.
Find out more about it on discountescorts.com. I enjoyed Housebound. And I had several friends who said Your Next was pretty crappy, but they loved Housebound.
Really?
I think I enjoyed Your Next more than Housebound. And I liked Housebound a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Your Next to me... it could be just personal preference, but I dug a lot more of what it was doing than what Housebound was. That's not a knock on Housebound.
I think Your Next was a little more deconstruction.
Yeah.
Then this one was a little more straightforward story that had roots in other.
Well, and Housebound too. It's weird because Your Next seems to be one thing, but is something quite a bit more. I don't want to say mundane, but simpler, if you will. But I think because you go from a standpoint of that potential something being very realistic, the reveal to what it really is isn't as jarring. Whereas Housebound, it promotes itself as a haunted house story.
Yeah.
And what it ends up being is a lot more realistic.
Grounded.
That's not
yeah.
bad. It's just different. That's all. And I sound like I'm not.
Well, it's not like you know, like Fred and Velma showed up and like rip off. It's Old Man Smithers. It was Old Man Smithers.
Nah, it was great. And you know what? Again, what ultimately matters is, did the audience like it? Did they get into it? And they did. Yeah. And I dug it too. And that the reactions for Your Next and Housebound combined, probably some of the most enthusiastic responses we've gotten mm-hmm. in a long time. And in part because that stuff plays right into the wheelhouse of your typical audience member. Oh, yeah.
Well, I know I'd seen Your Next.
By the way, Nosferatu, available now on DVD and Blu-ray from Scream Factory. You can buy it at deepdiscountescorts.com.
Deep discount. Just deepescorts.com. They've been around for a while.
Just click on deepdiscountescorts.com.
They're a little
/ marathon chat.
/ loosey goosey.
And apply for a 20% discount on Scream Factory's Blu-ray of Nosferatu.
I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast. I saw Your Next for the first time at it was a press screening, but it was a public screening.
Yeah.
And the audience wasn't into it.
It was full too, right?
It was full. Yeah, I mean, they did okay. They liked it, but it's hugely different in a crowd filled with people who'd seen a lot of horror movies and knew the horror movie scene. Because the entire movie is built on cliches, but it's done in such a unique way that all the cliches don't feel like cliches.
No, they don't. And I mentioned this afterwards, but that whole like conglomerate, or I don't know if they have a name for themselves, but the coalition, if you will, of Adam Wingard and Ty West and Swanberg, Amy Simons is in a bunch of their stuff, A.J. Bowen, who was in The Sacrament and some other things. Yep. That group of films they've made, those are people who are clearly coming from a background where they love film, but they also love horror.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff can come across, I guess, to a broad audience as not as I don't want to say accessible, but yeah, maybe as accessible as it would for like House of the Devil.
Yeah.
A Ty West movie with some of those people, and a horror crowd loves that because they get exactly where that's coming from. They get the DNA. Whereas a general crowd, if they saw that, might think, so what's going on?
Well, I had a conversation with somebody about Your Next, and they were like, well, everyone did things that were so stupid and so dumb. And I'm like,
yes,
no,
of course they
did. That's the point. She's like, no, it's just poorly written. I go, no.
Okay,
it's playing off of that. And I made a comment because you made some, and I said, look, a movie that stars Ty West. Or not stars, but he's in and he's involved.
Starring
in
Ty West. Yeah,
He wouldn't have been, he would have been like, guys, look, I do horror all the time. This is the point. He knows it.
Okay.
And,
meant
to do it.
This annoys me to no end. Sorry. And this kind of gets to Interstellar too, which.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Here's the thing. I think too often, especially today with the internet.
Okay. And Twitter.
And LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Something last year. What are you going to go out for Foursquare
and
next?
And Friendster. All your Friendster activity.
MySpace,
the bane of my existence. Justin Timberlake. Piffle. Anyway, so I think there's this tendency today in a lot of film criticism to gang up on things and to look and to specifically like try to pick apart things that don't need picked apart necessarily, if you will. And trust me, I'm not saying don't hold things accountable.
Yeah.
But, okay, for example, in a movie like Interstellar or in a movie like Your Next, now Your Next clearly is riffing on genre tropes.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But guess what? Sometimes people do stupid things in situations. I think we tend to think too often like, oh, there's a traumatic situation. Why aren't there people that are smarter than that? Why aren't they reacting? It's like, because people do stupid shit sometimes.
Oh, no, no.
I had an argument with one friend about a certain character in Interstellar, and I won't give this away, who seems to be, and you'll know what I'm talking about, it comes about halfway through the film, who seems to be something and turns out to be something else.
Yeah.
And they argued that the motivation was completely cliched and dumb. And I said, well, when people are panicked with death, they'll do dumb things sometimes.
Yeah.
They'll completely act in self-serving ways. I mean, I think it's good for a movie like that, say, to say, oh, these are all really smart people. And it's like, well, yeah. But hey, guess what? When you're out there and it's almost like, uh-oh, this is it. Time's up. We're going to die or we're going to go. Sometimes people do very self-serving dumb things.
I think it all depends on how you handle it.
It is. And there is a thin line. I'll say that. I think sometimes people don't look at the movie or the story for what it is. Case in point, Martyrs. One of our good friends, who we won't name here,
but he knows who he is. He's on Twitter too.
Oh, jeez.
His handle is
@filmgenius.
No.
Discount escorts.
We were talking about Martyrs, infamous French brutality fest that we showed a few years back. And his problem was that the main female character didn't fight back. Yeah. I said, that's the point. She's not a kick-ass heroine.
Yeah.
She's this girl who goes along with this other girl who is revenge-bound. And she gets trapped in something that's way above her head. And that's the point of the film. You might not like the film in terms of, wow, that was that went beyond my taste. But don't dislike it because she didn't fight back. A lot of people in that situation would not fight back. Not every woman is a kick-ass heroine. And that's not an anti-feminist statement. But there are women, there are men who would be like, oh, fuck! And they'll panic and they'll do dumb things, or they'll just, you know, they're weak and they can't take it.
Well,
sometimes I think people are so used to what they want these people to do that they aren't willing to meet the story halfway and say, this is what they are. These are these people. It might not be great, but these are who these people are.
And I think that's how you handle it. And I think that in that sense, that's true. As long as you handle it, as long as it's a realistic response for people. And that's why I think it's realistic, but more so, they're playing off convention. They're playing off what people do in horror movies.
Yeah.
And they did it with absolute certainty that that's what they're doing.
That is true. And I think
what I don't like, when they do stuff that's an unrealistic response. The best way to do it is if you can present it and then the movie, and then it's not until after you see the movie, somebody goes, well, why didn't they do this? And have you go, huh? Yeah, I guess they could have.
Yeah.
Because you never, greatest example I can think of the suspension of disbelief on that is if you look at Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
And you can sit there and say, people say, this is the best Star Wars movie ever. It's better than the original, blah, 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 blah. Nothing's going to be better, blah, blah, blah. And if you say, well, wait a minute. Luke goes to Dagobah to train to be a Jedi, and the rest of them, they go in the asteroid, and then they end up in Cloud City. They get tortured, and they change their clothes once, and that's just Princess Leia.
Times are tight when you have a rebellion, my friend.
And it's, what, a weekend? It's a long weekend?
And that totally reduces Empire Strikes Back. The very bad long weekend.
It was just a long weekend. You couldn't even look at what next time you watch it, think about it. Go, wow, that's... And then, like, Yoda's... And he's there with Yoda, and Luke is, like, training forever. And then he says, wait, think of everything you've learned. You can't leave. I'm like, it's been a weekend. How much could you have learned? Now, if you point that out to somebody who's never thought of it, they go, huh. And they may have seen the movie a dozen times.
Yoda is so needy.
Yeah. Maybe they're
I'm
on
alone!
The, they were on
Don't
the...
leave.
They're on the planet from Interstellar, apparently.
Yeah.
The whole point being is that movie is done so well that it's not until somebody actually points
that
out
true. Well, and I,
that doesn't work.
I think there's a certain tendency to, and this happens in the geek community a lot, mm-hmm. to watch movies especially and to ignore the visual part of the movies. Movies are a story, but they're also a visual art.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes there's a tendency to look at the plotting and pick apart any flaws in the plotting and hold that as a complete detriment against a film, when sometimes the point of the film is not the intricate plotting. The point of the film is visual storytelling. The point of the film is that.
You're just defending Interstellar again, aren't you?
I probably am. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna give a free plug here, and this is, and I'm going to hold myself responsible.
Screen Factory is not releasing Interstellar, I hate to tell you.
Oh, you don't think they are? They're plotting right now.
Okay.
They've got McConaughey in Scream Factory Central saying, come on, McConaughey, pull some strings for us. He's like, okay, man, I'll talk to the bosses, but I don't know if they're up for that, you know? This is an awful McConaughey impression, by the way.
He's getting worse every time.
I got all this smoke in my mouth. I've inhaled like more smoke than McConaughey does
that
in 1 year.
That wormhole is a flat circle. He literally says that almost at one point. And I thought of you when I saw the movie. I'm like, oh, I wish Joe was here. Why is that a wormhole? Just a flat circle, man.
I think I turned to one of my friends and said that, yeah. You just got to go through. It just keeps repeating itself over and over again. All right. I'll give a mini plug. If you'd like to read my thoughts on Interstellar, you can visit my very own blog. It's called Jason Stabler is Dead. That's STAbler.
It's hard to
Jason,
spell.
Jason Stabler, that is very appropriate for what I do. Jason Stabler is Bruce.
Please go
Bruce
to syzygyandzyzix.com.
Bruce Dern's character from King of Marvin Gardens, one of my all-time favorite films. Jason Stabler, that's Stabler, not Stapler,
oh
as one,
God.
One.
You just need to reserve all of the possible domains and just forward it there because you get that much more traffic.
If you look that up, there will be an essay about Christopher Nolan and Interstellar coming up very, very soon, mm-hmm. in which I blow your mind. You can also read my recent thoughts on Nightcrawler and on Birdman if you'd like to go there. Jason Stabler is dead, sponsored by Scream Factory.
Oh, good.
Now they're going to shut my blog down.
Of course.
Because I claim Scream Factory is. Anyway, it's all in the tone. It's all in what the film is trying to do. And I think sometimes, to quote a guy named Tarantino, it can be easy sometimes for people to go into a film, especially an old film, and try to be better than the film and try to say, how do I make myself feel better about this? And I think the great thing about film or about art is you approach it halfway. That doesn't mean everything's good. There's some really crappy things. But at least if you say, okay, what are you trying to do? I'll come over here and like look around in your area, whatever you're trying to do in here, and maybe I'll like it. Maybe I'll just go home and say, not my cup of tea. But I think sometimes people just want, like, they have this weird, insane desire to pick things apart. It's like, just,
well, I think that's everyone's a critic. But the thing is, I think there's a difference between picking things apart and saying, well, this didn't work, this didn't work, or this was good or not bad, but still being able to enjoy the movie. And I think, by the way,
I never read your Interstellar review. I should probably go read that.
I spend more time talking about Christopher Nolan as a director than about that. I'm like,
well, I might too, but that might be the point.
That's kind of what I started out as. I'm like, well, you can't.
Great. I'm going to write this. And then right as I'm about to publish, I'll go read your review and it'll be like, well, great. That's exactly what I said. Shit.
Way to go, Shia LaBeouf.
I had that happen. I had that happen when I wrote about Nightcrawler.
Yeah. I don't read people's reviews before I write my stuff.
Published it on November 6th. And the next day, The Dissolve, you know, the website, The Dissolve, published a today's forwarded articles, which you ended up on, by the way, with some weird article about how, get over it, people. Everything's always been the same.
Oh, was
Did
it
you know a, that? Did
wait,
you,
was, no, I was I on the?
Yeah, yeah.
Was the, it the one about the remakes and reboots
and blockbusters
and
nothing
sequels?
Has ever changed? Yeah, you made it on the recommended articles of the day.
Oh, shit.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know that.
Someone
awesome.
Ended up on recommended articles of the day writing about Nightcrawler, and they made my exact same point a day after I did. And nice. I'm not suing because I'm a nice guy.
That's amazing.
So anyway, how did we get around it? Oh.
We're just talking about, you know, being meta and being
all those jazz
deconstructing.
You know?
So, okay, so let's move on. So we talked Housebound, then it was Red Luck.
Yeah, Red Luck was before Housebound.
Housebound, which was a short, which was interesting. It was different. I mean, for everybody.
I was really happy. I had some worries that the crowd, based on their reaction to Mike's Space Boy remake from 4 years ago, the crowd might be rude, but they are actually very good. The people who didn't like it were just kind of like, all right, not my cup of tea.
I mean,
and the people who,
I think a feature length Red Luck would have been a little harder to take for the audience.
Potentially. Oh, we got to that later.
Well, with Strange Color for my upstairs. More tits in that one, though.
But I think it came off really well, and Mike had a blast, and the audience had some really good questions, and Mike's parents were there.
Do you know what Ben wanted to ask? I said, no, don't, because it's such a, it was an 11-year-old kind of, he's like, who was the bad guy? And I'm like, I don't even know how to answer that.
You should have asked that just so to see if Mike would say, you. What do you think? Now, Mike is about the most unflappable, nicest person I know, so.
Yeah.
That was cool though. I told him there in front of the audience, I was kind of honored he wanted us to show it, and I was really happy with how it turned out. So yeah. Then on to The Shining, and it was like a repeat of The Exorcist from last year.
One thing I noticed about The Shining, especially compared to the last time it was shown in
2005,
so almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because of how everything's kind of turned back in on itself and the perseverance of 237, room 237 from last year, and a lot of people seeing that, there was a lot more, and it didn't really bother me because I know why it was there.
Yeah.
Like generally, I don't like, if you're in terms of talking during a movie, if you're getting into it and you're cheering, like watching Your Next, that's cool.
Yeah.
Or if you're reacting to the screen, that's cool. Or even if you're riffing on the screen, like in The Satanist, which deserved it.
That sounds really dirty, riffing on the screen.
Ew.
Please, no riffing on the screen. Go in the bathroom to do that.
But if you're having a conversation, like you're just catching up with your friends, go to the lobby to do that. I don't like that. But I noticed there was the buzz of conversation. I was hearing that a lot more during The Shining, and I think it was because people were
I had some friends who were doing that in the back.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. We kept. It took me 20 minutes to get out of the room 237 mindset.
Mm.
All I kept thinking was like, dopey? No dopey.
You're just watching it like, there's a penis, there's a penis, there's a penis, there's a penis. Oh, Pooh Bear.
Yeah.
Roadrunner.
But yeah, it went over well. And the decorations that the crew was able to assemble in the lobby were boffo as well. And huge thanks to them, and huge thanks especially to Mike Henning, who kind of...
Is he the one who had all the standees?
He made the standees, zoomed in at the last second and made some pretty great standees. Two of which, funny story, I took home Lloyd and the head wound guy.
Oh, yeah.
The others, Mike took a few, and then one of the girls who worked at the Drexel took the twins because she was moving, and we said, you can have those.
Okay. The way you said it was, somebody took the twins.
Somebody took
because
the twins.
They're a pervert.
Please give them back. Please.
Forever.
And ever. I took Lloyd and head wound guy home, and I put them up in our dining room for trick-or-treat night. And my nephew, I'm sorry.
These 10-year-old kids are going to be like, Lloyd, you get me.
Well, they don't know. They don't come inside, please.
Not all of them.
Whoa!
Well, that sounded even worse now when you think about that.
My 4-year-old great
Now I'm going to get pregnant.
Why? See, you're right. I subconsciously step into these things.
You unconsciously slip into these things?
You
what?
Sure, I'm not going to get pregnant from this.
No.
This is for your virgin, aren't you?
No. No, I'm impotent, actually. Really?
Wait, I'm impotent? How'd that happen? Well, miracles.
So anyway, I took these two standees home, put them up in my dining room for Halloween, and my 4-year-old great nephew, who's this mad little genius, was very concerned about them, and in fact kept trying to convince me to take them down in a very conscientious mindset. And at one point he turns to me and he says, I'm
Lloyd and the head wound guy, right?
Yeah, he says,
was he freaked out by Lloyd or
I think both.
The head wound guy is a little bit unnerving.
I think both, and he just was very concerned and he wouldn't drop it, and we're sitting on the couch and he looks at me and says, Uncle Joe, maybe you could put those up on Halloween when I'm not here. Which was great logic, but I said, hey, buddy, we're like 4 for 4. You've been here every Halloween you've been alive.
And
I don't
look
think
at me
that's...
And you're like,
Joe's not here anymore.
I thought about trying to bring him in to play little Danny because I actually have a picture of Danny Lloyd on the carpet on my computer as the background, on the Shining carpet.
Oh, okay. I'm just like, oh my God, what are you doing?
And it's him with his head down.
He's not awake.
And all the trucks around him.
Okay.
You're terrible. And when my 4-year-old great-nephew, this one, when he saw the background, he said, oh, it's me. So I thought, oh, we should bring him in and have him ride the tricycle around before the event.
You should have a moon landing shirt on
and a moon
everything.
Room. Yes, and he could have said, moon room. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, The Shining was great. Mm. It was crowd liked it again. And it's, I enjoy that we can put at least one of those big, well-known titles in the lineup and people get it. And I think it helps a lot of things help. But anyway. Oh. But The Shining was followed by...
The Satanist or the Manitou?
No.
The Manitou.
No, the moment of magic, the Manitou. I have to tell you, Mike Olenek, the Red Luck director, he was so floored by the Manitou, he'd never seen it. He was talking about it for a few weeks afterwards, just kind of in an obsessed way.
I love the Manitou.
I hope everybody finally got to see why we kept talking it up. There were some people who thought, I don't know, this might not be that good. But boy...
I remember seeing, because I'd seen it a year or two ago, and when I saw it, I loved it. I thought it was so bonkers and crazy, but I recall it getting bonkers and crazy much later.
Yeah,
and it gets crazy, but like when the woman levitates and goes and then knocks all 10 pins down on the bowling alley down the stairs.
Yes,
I was like, wow, this thing went off the rails fast.
That's a lot of white man magic there.
I was like, this is amazing. I love this.
And Tony Curtis playing like. It's like the ugly American. I love it. It's like, yeah, we'll take your mystical bullshit and come on, let's get on it with it now. Yeah. Let's use our white man magic. Computers. Thank God for computers.
Speaking of computers, why did the doctor have the entire computer from the Star Trek bridge in his office? For what purpose?
It was late 70s.
To make martinis?
It was what would become Silicon Valley. So you have some money laying around.
He's a doctor.
You might as well have one of these newfangled
play solitaire
mega computers. I use this to crunch big data. I don't know how it's going to work until like 2014. But hey, this has got to do something.
It's so crazy.
He was bored. That's the lifestyle of the bored and decadent and rich: is buy a big computer you don't need.
It's hard to find the Manitou now.
Yeah, it's not on DVD.
There's old DVDs around. I think you can get it on Netflix, but it's a very, very long wait. I did find it on YouTube.
It's not even a very long wait. It's a very, very, very
no, it says that. Yes,
it says very, very long
wait.
It says
ridiculously long
wait. Obscenely long date. You know who should do a special edition of the Manitou? Scream Factory.
Well, Scream Factory should do it.
And you know who could do a commentary for it? Me.
That's a good idea.
The whole commentary would be, blah, 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 Manitou magic. Yeah.
What was that?
I love this bird. This is great. Manitou. Oh, look at it fly.
Why did you suddenly sound like a cartoon character?
Oh, blah, that's blah, what happens. That's what happens when I watch the Manitou. I revert to the prehensile state.
There might be some Manitous in this.
I become a huge stoner when I watch the Manitou.
Well, what
I'm
was
like? Watch it. Look at this. Look at this. This is great.
Awesome. Oh my God. He's a dwarf.
I love it.
Why was he a dwarf again? Did they ever explain why he was a dwarf?
Magic.
Okay.
Manitou. I don't know.
And then we were at the Satanist. I'll let you talk about that. I need to go let the dog in.
And that is not a euphemism for anything. He's letting the dog in. Ew, he's the Satanist. Satanist. We had our little demonic double feature of the Satanist and demons. And... Oh, God, you're right. How could I forget? Strange Color was before that. We did the mind-blowing triple bill of the Manitou, Strange Color of Your Body's Tears, and the Satanist. And, of course, I will completely live up to the stereotype that has already been firmly established for me.
Art house snob.
And say that I loved the Strange Color of Your Body's Tears, and I am eager to see that again.
It was a little long for me.
Well, that's because you're dumb. So let's just establish that.
And it was like 3
in the morning. You are a typical ugly American Midwesterner who's like, long, I don't know about that. Where's the hoochie?
Wait a minute. That's not a criticism I would have with this movie.
I was stopping halfway through saying hoochie, and I all of a sudden had this weird amalgam going, hoochie.
Hoochie.
What's hoochie?
Hoochie.
Amuse your friends and say, where's the hutchie? And they'll have no idea what you're talking about.
I think Strange Color of Your Body's Tears was... But you know what? And we talked about this before. The lineup's tough because...
Yes.
Strange Color was rough to watch at the time slot it was.
Yes.
Partly because it was also like an hour later.
Yes.
Because of the costume contest as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Which... But it's how. Where would you put it? Because you don't want to put Shining too late. You don't want to put Nosferatu too late.
No,
you need to have Housebound and you're next up front. So, yeah, I mean, it's just tough. But that's the
nature
of the event.
We put the Wicker Man third from last, and that wasn't where I really originally intended
to have
it. I thought
it played well, though.
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah.
Especially Britt Eklund shaking her bare ass all over the place.
Yes, yeah. Well, and some of it is the piecemeal nature of the lineup. Even when we have the lineup assembled way beforehand, we don't get to book everything at once.
Yeah.
So even though you want to have... I think we do a pretty good job nowadays of having a lineup that fits together fairly well. Yeah. But still, you book things in a certain order. And by the time we got to Texas Chainsaw Massacre and saying, okay,
to the very end,
let's do it, let's book it, I thought, shit, it would be cool to play it somewhere other than the end. Because in the two times it's played before, it's played last.
Yeah.
And for me, I thought, hell, wouldn't it be neat if we played it first? Or wouldn't it be neat if we played it like at 8 o'clock? But... We just didn't. It didn't. And Wicker Man's kind of in that, too.
Yeah.
You know, my fear was if we played Nosferatu later, as you said, we'd
kill
people.
Oh, we killed everybody, yeah.
And Strange Color might have been cool if we'd played it at 9 o'clock.
It was just...
But it just...
My thought on Strange Color is it was long, and it was...
You said that already.
And
yeah.
It was... And it,
was it long?
You know, it was,
say it again.
It was very artistic and very non-narrative.
You're supposed to follow this up by saying, it could have had a half hour cut out of it and still made the same point.
Well,
okay?
No, but I'm saying, it looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a visually arresting movie. It's a really neat film. It was just... Because like I said, I was following... And I had already started to doze at that point. I dozed off a little bit during the Satanist, during the orgy scene. And that's tough. The fact that you doze off in an hour-long movie, that's...
Wait,
Satanist was a little
Satanist
long.
Was after.
Was it after?
Strange Color, yeah.
Okay, that's when I started in Strange Color, just because I was into it for about an hour, and then I just lost it. That's happened.
You
know
what?
In America.
I completely understand, because as much as I loved it, there were a few parts near the end where I was a little half in, half out.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, there have been artistic stuff that has played that I've hated.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't hate this. I found it interesting. It was tough to keep the attention that late at night.
Yeah.
It was very repetitive.
I think that was the point.
I did like the Scooby-Doo soundtrack.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Did you see ABCs of Death?
Yeah.
So you saw their portion.
Which one was theirs?
Oh, for Orgasm.
Oh, that was theirs.
That was it.
That
you,
makes
now
sense.
You can
okay,
tell.
There
yeah,
we go,
it's exactly.
It was O is for Orgasm,
they,
the movie.
They have such they have such a defined style, and if you like it, you'll like that. If you don't,
yeah, know. I mean, it's visual poetry type stuff. It's yeah. not. It's not meant to be.
I finally
coherent.
Saw ABCs of Death the week after the marathon.
Okay,
so which was okay.
Ironically, the second one came out pretty much know, the week after the marathon.
The final
second one's not bad actually.
The final final episode of ABCs of Death mm-hmm. Z for whatever it is, yeah. That might be worth the price of admission. That's the one that makes all previous crazy Japanese stuff look tame.
Just with check
the,
out you know
with
check
the,
out
with the bomb and the huge erections and
yeah,
all that?
Yeah 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 check out second the second one the second one's actually a little more refined
yeah
it's it doesn't feel as like Ty West I love Ty West but his installment in M for Miscarriage
in first one yeah yeah yeah
is looks like he shot it he looked like he's like oh shit I gotta get this in let me what it's gotta begin by three it's noon I want to be able to eat lunch first then I'll shoot it that's kind
of
what
and it's weird because that was the whole focus of Adam Wingard's one which yeah. is oh great what are we gonna do I don't know what
the, was that Adam Wingard?
Yeah yeah yeah
well and they but this one the new one has some really cool stuff in there they have one crazy bonkers animated thing
have you seen VHS Viral
No, I haven't.
I actually saw something before you. I well, shelled out and
generally, I'm going to probably try and get a screener.
The Nacho Vigalondo episode of VHS Viral is pretty great, and I can't talk about it because you haven't seen it.
I like the VHS movies. I hate found footage, but I actually like the VHS movies.
Yeah, I do too, and I don't get some of the guff they get.
I think the reason is just it's a general backlash against found footage, which I hate.
Yeah, yeah.
Which again, kudos for not having a found footage movie in this.
We tried to get VHS Viral.
I would have watched that. The VHS. I like the VHS.
They wouldn't
movies.
Give it to us. They said you are all amateurs.
Do they really? And it's probably a little early.
And I quote, because you know who's releasing VHS Viral to theaters?
Magnet,
Scream Factory. No, I'm kidding.
It's Magnet.
Shh. Great.
ScreamFactory.com. Then after
deep discount escorts is releasing
deep discount deep escorts, which is totally different.
Well, some of you out there are saying, boy, they've really become self-indulgent now. Right, and so, I haven't even had any alcohol to drink. Kevin has.
I've had two. Then there was a Satanist.
Then there
Do
was
we need
a
to say anything more about the Satanist?
I don't think
Did
so.
Did we talk
we
about the Satanist?
We talked about it in the
we
beginning.
We talked about
yeah.
lube.
Yeah. Oh, it's. I mean, I hope that people get that we were not trying to pitch this as the lost footage from Magnificent Ambersons. Hence the artwork we put on the flyer that had topless women on it. If you didn't notice,
well,
at the
I think, and also, and this is just for you to not to worry. When people say this was just softcore porn,
you're right.
Acting as an excuse to be. Horror. That's an accurate description. Yeah. This is not. That's not a. That's not like when people say, "Oh, you like Serbian film is just porno."
Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is not. I mean, it's not meant to titillate. This one totally was.
We booked it more to be a historical curiosity.
And that was probably one of the most riffable movies.
And, yeah, and because it was only an hour.
Yeah, we had
and we thought,
fun.
well, nobody's seen this for 50 years. Just book it for the name, and it's probably going to be goofy and bad. But just put it in there and. There we go.
It was fun. I think my favorite goofy moment in the whole movie, which there's a lot,
yes.
is when she starts drawing this. If for some reason, she can't draw a circle.
Oh yeah,
and
I
then they
about
cut
that.
Away, and they come back, and you could tell that like the director goes, "No, like this," and he draws it, and then he puts it down, and somehow
That's
it turns
right.
from this really terrible circle. Which she was? Did she? Was she pouring the? Was he? No, she was drawing.
Is that psychological test? Do you remember? Did you watch Hannibal season one?
Yeah.
Remember the psychological test they give Will Graham when it's like draw a circle and he draws this weird
oh,
misshapen
yeah.
thing and he sees it as a circle? Maybe
oh,
it's
okay.
maybe it's that psychological test.
I don't think they thought that far into it. I thought they had a scene where there was involving
maybe,
no boobs.
Maybe. Check it out. Maybe.
It was a flat circle.
Maybe Will Graham looked back in time and told them to make a test with a circle.
And the snake
it
in
was
this
him.
Movie that
it was him.
Knows about.
It was him that was calling back to them.
See, it was a flat circle.
Every time I think of hear McConaughey talk, I always think back to when his son was born, and his son's name is Levi, and they were asking him. I was like in a hotel room. This sounds terrible from the beginning.
Oh, jeez. Where were you?
I'm on vacation.
I was hiding in the closet. I don't know why suddenly you're speaking as McConaughey.
When McConaughey's son, when McConaughey's son was born, I was in a hotel room watching him be born. Now, I'm on vacation. I'm half awake, waking up in the morning, and there's a news bit on about his son being born, and he's being interviewed by CNN.
Yeah.
And every time I hear him talk now, I flash back to me being half awake, hearing him talk about his son, whose name is Levi.
Yeah.
And they're like, did you ever, was there any like greater meaning behind his name? And McConaughey, who sounds like he's had about-
I'll take off my pants and I came to a revelation.
It sounds like he's like been hitting the spliff quite a bit before the interview. He's like, see, well, that's the magic, you see, because Levi is Matthew, which is true. Levi, like if you know the Bible, like Levi was the original name of Matthew, the apostle.
Okay.
But the way he said it, it's just like, isn't that awesome?
No, I just thought of that now. What a coincidence.
Every time I see him on screen anything now, even like Killer Joe, all I think is him saying, Levi is Matthew. It's like this grand revelation that like the third eye opened up and it was given to him. And
here's an interesting baby being born story. It has nothing to do with anything, but you'll find it interesting. Do you know what famous person was having a baby on the same floor of the hospital that we were when we had Liam, my 13-year-old.
Dino Tripodis?
No. Did Dino have a baby?
I don't know. Fritz and Idell.
Eric Clapton. Clapton.
Oh, wow. Clapton's?
Clapton's baby was born same night.
Wow.
As ours, just down the hall.
Did he sing Wonderful Tonight to the baby?
No, I never saw him. I never saw him. But this is what it's true, because we walked out, because you know you're in the maternity ward and they have a good security there already. But as you walk out, there's a cop sitting. I'm like, well, that's obviously either a serial killer has had a baby, or that's Eric Clapton's wife's room.
Yeah,
because she's from Columbus.
Yeah, and in Delaware, right? Yeah,
and so then we and I never saw him. I never saw the kid. I'm sure I saw the kid because there was a nursery, and so you just did, you know, there's just tons of kids. They're just giving them out at the back door. But we go into they have a breastfeeding class as our first child. So we get together, and I'm there the whole time because I didn't have any other kids to take care of.
And they said, "Sir, well, you can't breastfeed. I'm sorry. I'm like, you may want to, but you can't."
Volunteers. But anyway,
so
we go in and we go in to sit down to this class, and it's in this big room, and I knew which one was his wife because of all the new mothers, most of them looked like they'd been hit by a truck. Because, you know, they just squirted out a kid within like the last day or so.
That's a pleasant image right there.
And they're all like
squirted out a kid.
They're all in their gowns and their hair's a mess. And they had no makeup on. And then there's this woman in this really nice dress, hair done, makeup on. I'm like, well, that's his wife. Because this is before iPhones. I think they would be worried anyone. But I'm like, well, that's obviously Clapton's wife because no one else is going to put on a makeup. No one's even going to put on a dress.
See how smartphones have ruined our world.
Ruined our world because
it used to be Clapton's wife could show up to a breastfeeding class and not worry about it. And now she'd have to be like in a burqa.
Yeah.
Did I just offend someone? Uh-oh.
I don't know what that was.
Uh-oh, great.
It's Twitter. Goddamn Twitter.
At Al-Qaeda is going to come after me now. Do they have their own
There's
Twitter account?
There's a lot account? Of burqas. Maybe they're wearing a
is
burnous.
Is there an at Al-Qaeda?
It's a burnous. They wear that in Addis Ababa, according to Otis.
At Al-Qaeda says, at Obama!
What?
Election didn't go too well, did it? Hashtag failure. Hashtag yet another failure.
You're just like casting a wide net to offend.
That's
today.
All I do is right. Cast a wide net. I cast a very wide
net. From ScreenFactory.com.
From ScreenFactory.
So anyways, after Satanist was...
Demons.
Demons. I fell asleep during that. I love Demons. I think it's a great movie.
I was like wavering a bit during that. But yeah, it's a great
flick.
That
showed, what, 10 years ago-ish?
Same year The Shining did. Yeah. 2005.
That's a fantastic movie. And it's hard to sleep through because it is fucking loud.
Yes. Very, very loud.
But yeah, it was that 1-2 punch of that and Tenebrae, and I fell asleep during Tenebrae too. I couldn't...
Tenebrae. Yeah.
I woke up at the end where like... I don't know if there's violence that happens in the middle, but there's a lot of violence that happens at the end, and I woke up for that.
Yeah. That was cool.
I kind of said that like Raffy from The League. I woke up from violence, then I masturbated.
I've never
then
watched
I ate
The League.
My shit.
But I'll laugh.
The League is great. You should watch The League. The League's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, those were good, our little Italian double feature.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tenebrae, I don't have much to say about those.
See, Tenebrae, Tenebrae was one where I had sort of wanted to show it earlier, but it really...
Again, what, everything got, else, every, someone has to play at 5.
So it did. And yeah. But I think people, you know, most people seem to like it who were awake.
It looked interesting. I mean, I'm not a huge Argento fan, but I thought it looked, at least what I saw, the ending, I was like, well, this has some stuff happening in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, check it out when you get the chance. Yeah. Then we had the Hall of Fame announcement.
Yeah. Ah, that's why I slept through that, because I even went on the
forum.
That's
right.
Like, wait, who won? Hold on a second. I had no idea.
H.P. Lovecraft, the first author, first literary figure to win, to gain entrance into our Hall of Fame.
And we didn't actually have an H.P. Lovecraft story. It's not like we had.
No, and Stephen King placed second.
Yeah. Wow.
Take that, Big Steve. Steve, my Twitter campaign against you continues to work, doesn't it? Maybe if you apologize to me on Twitter, you'll get in the Hall of Fame.
Wait, why are you suddenly having... Okay. I was me who had the feud with Stephen King.
You like to think that. My Twitter account...
Which is great. I mean, that's...
I tweet under at Janet Maslin, okay? So there you go.
Was there anyone else on the ballot that would have been like... I mean, because there was... Part of it is... It's not like Kubrick... I mean, I'm sure Kubrick was on the ballot. So, no,
Kubrick has never been on the horror ballot.
Because he's not... He did one horror movie.
He only made one horror movie.
And
I mean, the ballot stuff, like Bruce sometimes does different things for sci-fi. Mm-hmm. For horror, I've been making up the ballot for years. And I typically take a very baseball Hall of Fame approach to the mm-hmm. ballot, where, to me, to get on the ballot, you have to have some body of work. Mm. Like, I'm not a write-in votes. I'm cool with anything. You know, if we ever had a write-in vote for something dumb, knock yourself out. But to me, the nominees always should be people who have had an impact. And that gets tough, because when people get elected, you have to find a substitute.
Yeah.
And in the last 20 years, it's become a little more difficult to find people in horror who truly have a body of work or a true... huge impact.
Ty West should have be on the next one.
Maybe he will. Or like, I think maybe I put James Wan on there. Maybe, yeah. No, I don't know if I did.
James Wan, though, I mean, he revolutionized horror twice. Well, it's like kind of hard to do.
The Fangoria Hall of Fame, if you ever check that out anymore, they're down to the point now where people are getting elected to the Hall of Fame after making one movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we need to elect somebody.
It was like when they did the Masters of Horror.
Oh, yeah, the Masters. Yes.
You directed one movie that was scary and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
Well, it's not like when we had our own movie marathon.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not trying to knock on your Hall of Fame.
Because our Hall of Fame, the winner was, of course, Tom Atkins' mustache from Halloween 3.
Did you see, by the way, I changed the pictures on the Twitter profile. Did you see who's in the profile picture?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you're missing out. It's a friend. It's a mutual friend. Yeah, check it out.
I'll check it out. Here, I'll continue to speak.
Kevin is getting on his iPhone right now. He is typing in at Ohio Marathons.
I didn't say narrate my nonsense here.
His fingers are thick yet supple.
Okay, I'm a little
He's looking
now.
Up deepdiscountescorts.com.
Oh, Yo Gorilla. Yes. Yoga.
Had no idea what to put on, so.
That's awesome.
Yoga, for the time being, Yo Gorilla is the.
He works for sci-fi.
He does.
That's an interesting key image too for Sci-Fi 32.
It's for now, as in I had to put something up, so there you go.
It's very it's Phantom of Paradise.
It's the astounding she monster.
Is that what that
which
is?
I've never seen, but it's cool art.
Cool.
So anyway, Phantom of the Paradise, by the way, available now in a new remastered
I believe
version
that is
from
Scream Factory.
I think
that is, yes. Now, after
we hit the home stretch after the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, then
the Wicker Man,
Wicker
the Invisible Man.
Man,
and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Man.
Yeah, I like the Wicker Man. Yeah, I made it through most of it.
I slept through the Wicker Man. I had to sleep during something, and I thought I'd love to stay awake and watch Tenebrae, so I did. And and I love Wicker Man too. And you're right. It came off well.
It played really well. I was surprised because for as slow of a burn as it is.
Yeah.
It played really well at whatever it was, 10 in the morning or something.
Like 4 in the afternoon. Yeah.
But it was, I missed the ending. I fell asleep and then I woke up and everything's burning. But I fell asleep somewhere after Britt Eklund did her naked dance,
your
which
erotic
I was
dance.
Very happy about not missing. Invisible Man was cool. I dozed off about 2/3 of the way through that one. That's just, again, it was just so late. And I had bought the entire... I bought the entire 30 movie collection for the Universal Monsters.
That's right.
31, because it includes a Spanish version of Dracula. But I watched all of those over the course of over the course of the of October.
Yes.
Which there's a all the ones, the best ones are in the beginning. You have this diminishing return.
Of course.
Yeah. By the time you get to the end, it's all like Invisible Man sequels and Invisible Mummy Agents sequels. Yeah. Oh God, the Invisible Agents, terrible. And then you're getting to like Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, which actually isn't bad.
Yeah.
You know, Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man is pretty terrible, but yeah, I mean it's. I like the Invisible Man. I thought that was cool, and again, it was interesting to see that late at night.
And it played about how
at noon.
I was trying to do, yeah, in the spot, which was as a nice little hour-long
yeah.
breather in between the last two films, or the last three, I should say.
And then Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Part of the thing that makes Texas Chainsaw Massacre a good ending movie is because it's really hard to fall asleep during that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially like that last 20 minutes of just screaming.
That was the first time I ever saw it all the way through was at the 1993 Horror Marathon.
Oh, really?
And that last 20 minutes had such an indelible impression on me.
Yeah.
It's so intense and crazy and terrible. And, but yeah, that was great. So yeah, that's the lineup.
Yep. It was
good. That's the lineup, Jim.
It was good. I think it was. Was I mistaken? Did I see that there was actually maybe possible Castleberries there in the middle of the night? Or was it just Sloppy Joes?
Oh, you mean at the concession stand? Yeah. I think those were Sloppy Joes. I think. I didn't eat a lot from the stand, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I didn't eat a lot, period.
I ate less than I thought I would.
I threw up in the bathroom most of the time. No, I mean, I wait.
We walked down to, during The Shining, because we'd all seen it.
Uh-huh.
We walked down to Cozy and got some dinner. I got a salad, which was a good choice.
That was a good choice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting tired. That's
yeah, you are.
Good.
We probably should wrap up. Is there anything
else? I have to go finish my Interstellar essay.
That's right. Before everyone else races
to. It will annihilate your senses.
Oh, good.
It will contain all religions.
Awesome.
It will take you through the black hole of logic and back.
I am looking forward to it.
So if you'd like to read it, you can check it out at Jason Stabler is Dead.
I will try and spell that at some point.
Key search terms, Joan F. Genius.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Let's see what that pulls up on Twitter. Let's see. Joan F. Genius.
This is so anticlimactic.
LinkedIn is your first
LinkedIn. Do I?
Second one, Joan F. Profile at LinkedIn.
Do I have? Is that my profile?
Joan F. Facebook. Joan F. Twitter. There's a Joseph C. Neff.
Oh,
on Twitter.
That's not me.
About madgeniusproductions.com. Apparently there's somebody involved in that. North Carolina awards $3 million contract to fix Medicaid. Way to go.
You know, I fixed Medicaid.
You're not doing very
good.
I
really did.
Somewhere. Oh, you know, way down at the bottom is the Ohio Sci-Fi topic. Something about detention.
Detention?
Yeah, you were commenting on the movie. Oh, then on the second page is Jason Stabler is Dead.
There you go.
Jason Stabler is Dead. Spoilers ahead. Nightcrawler.
I don't promote myself a whole lot
no,
in this world.
No, you don't.
But today I am, because what I'm going to write about Interstellar might change humanity and Medicaid.
Really? Wow. That's amazing.
It might reform Medicaid. I am going to reform Medicaid with my review of Interstellar.
My review of Christopher Nolan's latest movie.
If all of you could see the great studio in the sky, we're getting a nice little pink overtone right here.
Yeah.
It is. It almost makes me want to crawl into Kevin's lap and take a nap. But I'm going to resist. No, I have to resist. No. Anyway,
we should probably wrap this up.
We should. I said we wouldn't talk that long. Ha ha.
Not as long as last time.
No, only an hour and a half this time instead of an hour and 40. So anyway, yeah, Horror Marathon was great, and more on sci-fi hopefully next time,
mm-hmm.
March 14th and 15th.
So you'll have to join us for
sci-fimarathon.com.
Our big Christmas episode of Marathon Chat.
Ho, ho, ho! And we'll make lots of dumb Christmas jokes and deep discount Christmas escorts.
Yes.
Com, wow. Scream, Factory, LinkedIn, DraftKings.
Cocoa Butter on Santa.com.
LegalZoom.com. Please, somebody sponsor all of us.
All right. I think that's it. Let's wrap it up.
Sounds great.
When's the Sci-Fi Marathon? March?
You just said, yeah.
I don't
see, you
to
were
you.
You were so interested in making riffs that you didn't pay attention to me.
Oh, whatever.
The SF32, the 32nd annual Ohio 24-hour science fiction marathon, will be landing in Columbus, Ohio at the Drexel Theater March 14th and 15th, 2015. That's not that far away. More info coming very, 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 very soon.
we will catch you all on the next marathon
on
chat.
The flip side.